B-Pod Studios.
The Bat. Straightforward.
You lose too, big boy.
No holds barred.
I'm starting to think this guy's a con man.
Sports talk.
I got it. All right, I got it.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
3-2 to Smoke. And a ground ball. There's Devers behind the bag. Fires on, and that'll do it. Red Sox win it. Final score of 10-8. A little closer than they would like, but into the win column. Red Sox win the first of the four-game series here from the Toronto Blue Jays.
Our number three, Felger Mazz, 403 in the evening here on 98.5 The Sports Hub FM dial in Boston. Simulcast across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston. Mazz and Murray back in the Mazz chair in the update studio here in our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester after a day off. So we haven't gotten to the Red Sox yet. Let's do it here. If I were to ask you, Mazz, what's the lead story on the team right now? Where do you start? What is it?
Chris Sale. Chris Sale to me is the number one story with the Red Sox right now. And again, I've been saying it all year long. I felt all year long he's been an enormous problem on this team. And when I say that, I mean the way he's pitching. I'm not telling you he's disruptive in the clubhouse or anything else. His performance, right there with the bullpen. People love to beat the crap out of the bullpen because it's an easy target. We all know the bullpen sucks. They don't have the horses. What about at the front of the rotation? They have the horse there. They have the issue there. I mean, they have the solution there.
Yep.
He's six. They're 6-13 when Chris Sale pitches. 6-13. Inexcusable.
What are they at home when he pitches?
They haven't won all year.
Winless.
Or he hasn't won all year. I don't know if they've won a game that
started. Right. Fair point.
Right. I don't know. They may have won one somewhere in there. But the fact of the matter is, I'll tell you the part of the story that's really starting to bug me, because we all love the accountability. Okay, Sale will stand there after the game and say, I'm a liability. And we love that. We love the quote. We love the soundbite. We walk away. Fine, he said it. Well, is it just a coincidence that this is coming after he signed a six-year contract for $145 million? Xander Bogaerts signed for 6-120, and Bogaerts is having the best year of his career. Sale gets his money, the first real big contract of his career. Not that the previous one was a slouch. He's making $13 million a year or whatever. But now he's closing in on 30. And now he goes belly up? What am I supposed to do with that other than say, is this just another guy that got his money and that's it? He's going to like coast now? He's going to cruise along and not worry about, you know, winning games and putting up the same numbers he does every year? Now that he's got his ring, now that he's got his money, that's it? Because again, what he says is what he says. I judge him on how he pitches.
So you're starting to question the makeup then?
Yeah, I am. Yep, absolutely.
Okay.
That this guy got his contract and all of a sudden it's just not as dialed in. I know I'd be questioning that with any other player that got that contract.
Yeah,
why shouldn't I question it with him?
Well, given the injury history of this particular player, though, that's the only reason I ask. Because for me, I just think he's broken down and breaking down by the game. Especially if you look at the last four starts, too. Like, he's getting worse by the game.
Murray hit 97 in the last game. He hit 97. So I don't think it's a physical thing. I don't. I've come to the conclusion that when you weigh it all out, the contract they gave him, their decision to do it, which I wouldn't have done, by the way, and a lot of us said that. Okay, that's sort of a separate thing. Did they do it to Worley? I think now we all agree they did. But that aside, in terms of his health, are the Red Sox really that dumb that they're going to give $145 million to a guy with a bum shoulder?
Yeah.
Okay, so fair point, Murray. But I don't think they are. Like, I think that whatever it was that was ailing him.
Maybe I'm a sucker. He just doesn't strike me as a guy that's going to dog it at all.
No, he sure doesn't carry himself that way.
Okay, he doesn't carry himself that way.
Right.
But what if that's just all bullcrap? That's just his way to sort of play up to the media, and he knows what he's doing. He's a smart guy, and he accepts the account. But is he as motivated as he was a year ago? I don't know. Like, I can only go by how he pitches. And what I know is that he got a big contract, and now he sucks. And that's relative, okay? I mean, he's not a total bum. But the point is, they're not paying him to be Rick Porcello.
A lot of these guys compare him to Tim Lincecum. Just slight left-hander with a violent motion. It's going to catch up to eventually. It's caught up to him. Is that a possibility?
That's what I think it is.
Bad timing that he catches up to him right when he signs for $30 million a year.
I mean, it's possible, but honestly, I don't think that's it. I don't. I don't think it's a physical thing. I think it's a mental thing, and I dare I say, like, a, you know, a focus thing or emotional, call it whatever you want. I just look at it and say, really? You got to be kidding me. You guys won 108 games. You won a World Series. A couple of you got contracts, and now that's it? That's it? Everything's good. You don't have to win anymore. You don't have to produce anymore. None of that. It all goes away. That's what pisses me off more than anything.
Who else would you say that about?
Mookie. He didn't get the big contract.
He didn't get the money.
Okay, but he got $20 million. Right? I think Mookie has backed off and regressed back to where he was. Porcello already had a deal.
He should be playing for his deal.
Yeah, the only guys on the team, though, that I can say definitively have played better this year than last are Bogarts and Devers. And Vasquez.
Vasquez.
I shouldn't leave Vasquez out either. Or, you know, and
Workman.
Maybe Eduardo Rodriguez, even I'll give you as well. Like, you know, but so that's what, 20% of the team? The other 80% haven't? It feels to me like they've got other things on their minds. So, and maybe it's not fair to make it all about the payday as much as the contract. You tell me Rick Porcello's contract's not an issue? That he didn't get extended and it hasn't been a distraction to him? Or J.D. Martinez isn't worried about his contract and he's been good, but he could be better? Like, I look at them all, and I just think that they got complacent with their one title. And in the case of Sale, who to me is really the bigger one, oh, it's a bad look. I don't care what you say. You might be able to sell me on what the image is, but how do I know what you're feeling when you really go home at night? You're as motivated as you were a year ago? I don't know. I have no idea. All I know is that your performance has gone downhill fast. So the numbers are what they are. Like, I can't, we all like what the guy says.
But didn't it really start at the second half of last year when he broke down?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. I mean, but again, not being able to pitch is one thing. And again, he didn't have...
Okay, so last year you think it was physical. Now you don't think it is.
Yeah, he was clearly hurt. I'm not doubting the physical injury last year. But then he came back into camp. They held him back in spring training, but he's basically made every turn. He hasn't missed time, and he hit 97 the other night. So what's the effing problem? What's the problem? Your team wins 8-1 in the first game in the second half, and then you come out and fart on the mound. That's what you did? You basically come out and just farted on the mound at Fenway Park.
Chris Sale, number one issue on the team according to Maz. Issue number two, tonight, help is on the way, apparently. Andrew Cashner, how'd you feel about this trade? We haven't heard your thoughts yet.
So I'm not shocked at what they did. And he's having a good year. But you do realize that this guy's a bum, right? Do you realize that? Murray, are you aware that this guy's a bum?
I would imagine so, considering I really didn't know anything about him and had never heard the name.
You know what his record was before this season? I know, I'm sorry.
Sub 500?
I hate to give you wins and losses because I know it's an archaic stat. I mean, what if wins and losses matter? They, you know, it's all about the ERA and the...
What was his win-loss record before this year, Anthony?
The BABIBP and all those other stupid sabermetric stats.
Batting average of balls in play.
Yeah, that actually, you know, you should just gloss over the reality that, oh, I don't know, the whole point is to win. And I was like, that's why they play. Last time I checked. 45-79. That might be a 46. I can't see because my eyes are getting bad.
Here, do you want my readers?
46 and
go 7. Go with 45. That sounds
I got it on the.
Worse.
I'm serious. I got it on the back of my phone. See this little thing? So it's 46 and 79. 46 and 79 in his career. All of a sudden, this is the answer? So look, again, he's having a good year. 9-3 with the Orioles. Is he worth taking a gamble on to stick in at the end of the rotation in the number 5 spot? Fine. No problem. You want to sell me that one? You know what I find equally as disturbing? The guy's making relative dirt for money in this day and age.
And you still had the Orioles pick up over half of it.
And you asked the Orioles to pay half the money.
Yeah.
Which is almost $2 million.
Even all the bonus stuff that he gets is on the Orioles.
Right. So you had to ask the Orioles to... So did you have to give up more talent as a result of that? Like, could you have given up a lesser player, but the Orioles said, but you asked the Orioles instead, no, eat some of the money and we'll give you these two guys instead? And I know there's 17-year-olds out of the Dominican Summer League. I get it. There's a long way to go. Who knows if they'll ever amount to anything. But for Andrew Cashner, you had to ask the Orioles to give some money up? The Red Sox feel mismanaged to me. Again, they feel mismanaged. And on top of it, I didn't like Dombrowski's whole bullcrap answer about what about helping the bullpen. And he says,
Evaldi's coming.
Yeah. Coming. How long have they been telling us that now, and he's still not here?
A couple of months, right?
I mean, really, first it was 4 weeks when he went down in April. Now here we are, and then they said July 12th or so when he'd come back and be in the bullpen. We're now at the 16th. The trading deadline's in 2 weeks, and we still don't know when he's coming back exactly, and we still don't know if he can help him in the bullpen. So, like, again, you know why they started selling us this Eovaldi thing 2 weeks ago? Because they knew they weren't going to go get a pitcher at the deadline.
No question.
In the bullpen.
No question.
And they wanted to sell us that then to get us off their backs because they don't want to go over that luxury tax threshold. So they started pumping Eovaldi down our throats. That's why. The whole thing feels mismanaged. And I don't want to take the players off the hook.
Because
sales are a huge problem this year. Huge.
But again, Andrew Cashner.
Bum. He's a bum. What do you want me to do with 46 and 79? Like, how am I supposed to dress that up?
Who has he played for?
San Diego.
Okay.
Okay, but he's 9-3 this year, isn't he?
I'm just saying, isn't that reflective something of the team that he's playing with, too?
Good pitchers elevate teams, I think. The really good ones elevate teams. They win. You know, now, look, he's had some real dog teams. And I don't dispute the idea that maybe they got him in a good year. And really, what are they asking him to do? He's a number five starter.
Who will go to the bullpen when the time comes.
Right. Just go 5 or 6 innings and don't completely throw up on yourself and suck. Okay? Just try not to suck as bad as the other guys who've been out there and you'll be all right. In fact, that really should be Andrew Cashner, suck less. That's the goal. To suck less if you're him. So fine. They're not. Again, I don't have a huge problem with Cashner in and of himself, given the role they were trying to fill.
I'm just going to take the overall tone from your comments this segment, Maz, and say you're still frustrated with the Red Sox overall.
How could you not be? Again, over the weekend, they win the first game, then they lose the next two to the Dodgers. Last night, they're up 5-0 and 10-4, and they have to hold on by their fingernails from the top of the left field wall to win the game. You know, the president of baseball operations, I feel like, lies to me every time he opens his mouth now because he can't tell the truth. Friday night, I was encouraged. The first game after the break, they came out and they looked good. 8-1, Dodgers in town, and you're like, okay, here we go. Here we go. And they puke on themselves the next two. And David Price gives up a 3-run homer in the first inning on Sunday. Like the whole, and I know they fought back and everything else, but I just, it's been the same story all year long. All year, it's been the same story.
All right, there's your Red Sox, I wouldn't say reset, there's your Red Sox thoughts. Well, we have one more to get to, and that's the base running of Jackie Bradley. We'll do that with you and your phone calls right after these words.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Straightforward.
You lose too, big boy.
No holds barred.
I'm starting to think this guy's a con man.
Sports talk.
I got it. All right, I got it.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
3-2 to Smoke. And a ground ball. There's Devers behind the back. Fires on, and that'll do it. Red Sox win it. Final score of 10-8. A little closer than they would like, but into the win column. Red Sox win the first of the 4-game series here from the Toronto Blue Jays.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' on You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
I'm going out there every fifth day and get my ass kicked. What do you think? It's not fun. Still working, still grinding. I'm not going to give up, but you know, it's tough. You know, going out there every day, being a liability for your team.
All right, Chris Sale always says the right thing after getting blitzed, but he keeps getting blitzed. I just repeat my point from yesterday, Maz. I was willing to give him a whole half season off. I really was. Meaning, in other words, World Series hangover, contract hangover, the first month.
Injury.
Well, not even that so much, but the way they came out of spring training, for crying out loud. I mean, how do you expect a starting pitcher to have success in his first three or four turns in the regular season when you don't even throw in spring training? So the Red Sox baked in some of that slow start. No, it was like engineered. And then, okay, contract, World Series, working his way back from something. I'll give you a whole half season if you want. But then to come out in that first game after the All-Star break against the Dodgers, after you took game one like you did, and now you're on national TV the next two nights, and you really have a chance to get going. And for him to do that, like, that's where it's over. No more. Now it's real concern, and there's something really wrong, or he's really done something wrong, or something.
The pitching staff is built around him. If the ace cuts your legs off, you're porked. You're porked. Unless someone else jumps in and does what he was supposed to do. In which case, he's got to be 500. 6-13 as a team. 3-9, Sale. 3-9. And at the end of the day, look, again, I like the accountability too. But when you just because he said it, right, what does that do for you? Yeah, makes you like him more?
Josh Beckett used to say it all the time too.
Right. Like it, so you like him more. Fine, I like a guy who's average.
And I thought Josh Beckett could have given two craps. He didn't care. But he knew he was smart enough to act like it.
Even then it came off as hollow. It doesn't come off as hollow with Chris Sale, which is why I think he's just trying to get through an injury we're going to find out about after the season, or maybe he gets shut down next month.
Okay.
I'd rather have a guy who pitches well and isn't accountable. That's what I'd rather have.
To your phones, as promised. Eric in Revere. Hi, Eric.
Guys, really? Chris Sale. Michael, I called you 6 months ago. I told you he's Tuukka Sale. Remember that? You laughed
Tuukka
at me?
Tuukka Sale.
He hasn't won a game at Fenway. He's probably going to win Thursday at the matinee because no one's going to be around, no cameras. It wasn't Sunday Night Baseball. And they should give out scissors before the game to make them feel right at home.
Okay.
I think he stinks. I'm 100% with Anthony. And Rick Porcello, Revere High could hit three home runs off him in the first inning. Terrible pitching. They're never going to beat the Yankees.
Okay, Eric, thank you for the call. Chris Sale doesn't deserve that kind of... I mean...
He closed out the World Series.
Okay, that is super overrated, by the way. Super overrated. What was the score at the time?
5-1, I think. Yeah, something like that.
Ball game series was over. So, I don't give him any credit for that.
Still, those first two goals by Tuukka.
I'm just saying. Oh, so I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Rask has never closed out anything.
Yeah.
Got it. But, I mean, I think that for the most part, Chris Sale, aside from some goofiness there with the White Sox and the jersey and, like, that whole thing and his teammate's kid, remember that whole nonsense?
Yeah, sure, of course.
But for the most part, on the field, I think Chris Sale's been pretty close to impeccable his entire career.
Yeah, look, again, I think there hasn't been any real off-field stuff with him here. Not divisive. And, in fact, I would even go so far as to say the opposite. Remember the game last year? Was it Rich Hill in the World Series when he was screaming two effing pitches in the dugout, and then, you know, he sort of aired everybody out?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, there was some willingness to speak up there. Again, I'm just telling you, at the end of the day, get people out and win games. Otherwise, I'm not interested in anything else that you do.
Here's Wayne in Yarmouth. Hi, Wayne.
Yeah, you guys are right. I mean, it's the players not delivering, but I can't let Cora off the hook. I think we had a guy come in here and he was handed a gimme for the year because three or four guys had career years. He's not doing anything to get these guys focused on what the hell they should be doing, and that's their job. I think he's got some responsibility here.
Okay, his role, Maz, what do you think?
Yeah, I don't make Cora exempt. I think the caller's dead on. And really, it goes back to spring training. The whole approach was a little too cocky for their own good.
Insane.
And so I wouldn't say that he got a couple of players that had career years because, frankly, I think Xander Bogaerts has blossomed ever since Alex Cora got here, and I think the two are directly connected.
No, but what he's saying is that core was on autopilot last year.
Sure.
Everyone was playing so
well. Yeah, sure. I'm just saying that there are still guys that he's getting through to. You know, again, I think there's a clear connection there with Bogarts. And he's probably working now with Vasquez, too. I mean, when I say working, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It's working on Vasquez as well as Bogarts. But the overall malaise of the team, absolutely, 100%. Not 100, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
There is absolutely a connection, though. Again, just take the base running into account. How do you explain Jackie Bradley's having his head up his ass in that play on Sunday night? How do you explain that?
Well, can I go back to another Jones comment?
Sure.
Which is something I do want to expand on. So Jones blamed Cora for that Jackie Bradley thrown out at third play. Because, Jones said, in the ninth inning, same situation when it was Bradley at first. And who again, was it, who was up? Was it not Vasquez, it was Hernandez?
Marco Hernandez. Correct.
So when in the ninth inning, they bunted Bradley from first to second. Now you get to the 11th, Bradley leads off with a double. And Hernandez doesn't put down the bunt. And so Adam Jones said that that was more, Bradley getting thrown at the third was Cora's fault more than Bradley's fault.
Yeah, so I don't agree with that. I didn't like the decision not to bunt. But, so what? Hernandez hits a ground ball to the left side? That means Bradley's going to go?
I didn't understand that comment.
Yeah, because again, there is nothing logical about it. And again, I'm not dumping on Jones.
No,
I mean, I understand his greater point, which is, well, if they had bunted, it never would have happened.
Yes,
fine.
That's his point.
So that makes it okay for the guy to go when the ball's hit in front of him? That's like that. That's rule 101.
101.
I mean, you know, that
if the ball's hit in front of you, it's got to go through the infield.
You don't go.
Don't go.
If it's in front of you, you don't go. And he went. And again, now I'll rewind all the way back to April 5th. When the Red Sox were down like four runs in the ninth inning in a game at Oakland, and Mookie Betts tried to go first to third, and got thrown out by the guy in center field with the A's,
yeah,
who was gunning down everyone in his path for 3 days. Okay, so now here we are on July 15th or 14th when the game was played, and they're still making those stupid kind of mistakes? Like, at some point there, you got to look at the manager in terms of the overall mindset of the team, but that play from Bradley the other night, holy crap. Like, that's as bad as it gets. And that's just stupid. That is just really stupid baseball.
My point was, I'm bunting there. I wanted them to bunt there.
They should have bunted there.
Okay, should have bunted there. But Bradley, that's on him 100%. Just because the manager doesn't lay down the bunt sign doesn't mean you start running into outs. I mean, that makes zero sense. So that's 100% on Bradley. However, now back to the bunt thing. I said that, you know, I'm not a huge bunt guy, but when it's the go-ahead run, I don't even mean the go-ahead run like in the fourth inning. I mean the walk-off run. You're in the eighth, ninth inning, extra innings. The winning run is at second base, and there's nobody out. You bunt him to third.
No question.
You get him to third so he can score on something less than a hit or on a wild pitch or a pass ball. You put pressure on the defense, etc. I do that every time. And it was curious why they would bunt Bradley to second in the ninth inning, but not bunt him to third in the 11th. And I said at the time on the air, I guarantee you that that's nerd-driven, that there's some sort of analytics. Because Cora, you could say, is not having a good year, but he's not asleep at the wheel. Like, it's not like he fell asleep and like, oh, is the guy on second? There's nobody out, huh? Oh, I should have bunted. Oops. Like, that's an obvious situation. So there's a rationale there why you bunt someone from first to second, but not second to third. And I said at the time, and I believe it now more than ever, I guarantee you that it's in some three-ring binder that some nerd came down from the third floor and handed to the manager and said, we'll bunt him into scoring position, but the extra 90 feet is not worth giving up and out. And Matt McCarthy, real seamhead, came in here during one of the final breaks of the show and said, that's exactly what modern analytics believe. Modern analytics believe that it's worth giving up the out to get the guy into scoring position, but modern analytics does not believe it's worth giving up the out for the extra 90 feet from second to third. And what I believe is that not only does analytics believe that, you know that they just inputted all the data. That I guarantee you there's some nerd somewhere, Murray.
What did the computer say?
Keep going. This is absolutely true. Keep going.
There's a room of 23-year-old kids from Cornell that has been hired by these teams and it's like half the front office now, and they're in some conference room or around some cubicles with tubes. Like, what are you millennial turds, nerds? How do you, well, however you congregate and work now is, so they got the three dweebs from the Cornell Analytics Department who work at Fenway, who I guarantee you, going back to as far as they could go back, 1956, poured in every situation where you gave up an out to sacrifice a runner from first to second and the result, and then from second to third and the result, and threw in those, you know, 455 million plays into some computer, and the computer computed it and spat it back and said,
"We have our algorithm.
When you advance a runner to first to second, that's worth giving up the out, but it's not, and here's the data to explain it. It's not an opinion. It's not a hunch. It is based on, I guarantee you, some dork throwing in all these plays into a computer and having spit it back a percentage, and that's why they play it the way they play it.
There's no question about it. And in fact, I found the chart today.
You did. I was going to do an on-the-air nerd call, because I'm sure it exists, you freaking dweebs that have taken over the game. I guarantee you, so Maz has it. I guarantee you that it's based on the numbers. So I have always maintained, I'm not telling you the nerds are wrong, but they've taken over the freaking sport. And now you can bunt a runner from first to second. Analytics will allow for that in set situations, but not second to third because of the numbers. And I hate that fact. And it's probably a fact. It's probably based on past results, and it's probably a proven number. But with less than two outs and the go-ahead run at second, why can't I get him to third and score on a sack fly, ground ball, pass ball, wild pitch, balk, all these things that can happen with a run? I want to be able to score the run without getting a base hit.
You must obey the binder.
Okay, so I want to do this when we come back, okay? It gets a little geeky.
No.
But I'll tell you that even looking up the chart that I looked up, the Red Sox still effed it up. They still effed it up.
Okay, then they have bad nerds?
Or they read the chart wrong.
Or someone read the chart wrong, or they gave them the wrong three-ring binder. But this, to me, even if they're right, it makes me angry and like the sport less. I want to pick this up on the other side with your calls after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
On 3-2, swinging away, chops it to the left side. They get the lead runner at third.
And it's just bad baseball. I mean, and this is nothing against Alex or the Red Sox. This is the modern day game we're playing, and it just does not make any sense. Bradley Jr. be at third. Dave Roberts bring the infield in, and you have two shots to win the game.
I'm also shocked, though, that Jackie Bradley Jr. goes on this. I mean, this is a ball that you have to have behind you. He's hosed at third base.
When you play bad baseball, you get rewarded with more bad baseball. And that's what you saw from Bradley Jr.
All right, so there's that Bradley play. What are the analytics say, Mass?
Okay, so I found a chart, and just bear with me, okay? Bear with me.
I'll do my best.
But the way they do this, they give you the situation, and then they tell you the expected runs to score by not bunting. Okay? Yep. You follow me?
I'm about to not, but go.
Okay. So, with a man on second and nobody out, the expected number of runs you would score in that inning are 1.1. Follow me?
Yep.
Okay. With a man on third and one out.
Thank you.
That number drops to 0.95. So the number of runs you would score in the inning by bunting the man to third.
Go down. So that's
it. From 1.1 to 0.95. But you know where the problem is in that argument?
Where do you think that number came up from, Murray, though? Like, where do you get that number from?
Do you know where you get that number?
Yeah, from a nerd.
From some dork from Trinity in a cubicle in one of these teams' office, inputting every single situation that there's been a runner at second and less than, or a runner at second and nobody out, or a runner at third and one out in every major league game going back to when?
From the 1800s.
To 1965 or whenever he could track it. And there are teams of nerds in Major League Baseball who are now compiling this data. And
they enjoy doing it.
And this is now the way the game is played. Boy, that's an amazing number. And I know you're going to tell me still how they screwed up, but I thank you. That answers it. Runner at second, nobody out. Expected run total 1.1. Runner at third, one out. Expected run total 0.95, you said?
Correct, yep. You got it right. Those numbers are exactly right.
Wow.
So here's
a minuscule difference. Oh.
Oh, but it's a difference. If you play it out over 162 games and 1,000 situations, you're going to score 8 more runs or whatever it equals out to, and that's why the game is played now.
Okay, so I'll tell you what my problem is with this logic, and there's another chart that supports my argument. Okay? You don't need to score a lot of runs. You need to score one. You need to score one.
Love it.
So the other chart in the same situation shows your chances of scoring at all.
Huh?
There's another chart that shows that this is.
I understand.
Okay.
I think.
One is what will get you the most runs.
Understood.
The other is what's your chance of scoring at all.
Yep.
Okay. Different argument.
Got it.
By bunting, your chances improve from 61% to 66%. So there's actually a better chance that you'll score one run if you bunt. But you'll have better chances of getting multiple runs if you don't bunt. In an extra inning game, why do you need more than one?
It was the 11th.
Why do you need more than one?
And this is why I say if it's the walk-off run, the go-ahead run, and I'll even allow bottom of the eighth and you've got a lights-out closer, like one of those kind of things, right? If it's the eighth inning and you got Goose Gossage sitting there in the ninth, it's the same principle. Runner on second, nobody out, I always send him to third. Always bunt him to third.
Absolutely you do. And again, the data would even support it. This is where they got, there's so many numbers in there, they probably got their heads spinning, and they couldn't get the damn thing right.
Remember when we were kids and your baseball card said Yaz was hitting 295 or Paul Molitor was hitting 305? I understood it. It was great. Made perfect sense. Now, this is what the game's become.
I'm telling you, and they still effed it up. What are you playing for multiple runs for, you donkeys? As soon as the runner gets home, the game's over. The first run is all you need. That's it. So the idea that you will score more runs if you don't bunt, fine. I don't need more. You want to do that in the second inning, have a blast. In the 11th inning, you bunt his ass to third, and then a wild pitch, a pass ball, a sack fly. Maybe they bring the infield in, and you hit a jam shot over what would have been the shortstop's head. I don't know. Could be any one of a million of those. But the point being, you have many more opportunities to score. You jackasses. I can't believe they didn't bunt in that spot. And I can't believe numbnuts tried to go from second to third on a ground ball to the left side. It's like this. It's exactly what A-Rod said. Bad baseball breeds more bad baseball. Like they completely screwed up the whole thing all the way around.
Okay, I promise. Right back to your phones in a long commercial-free segment. Next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Red Sox are back at Fenway tonight to take on the Blue Jays. Ace Ticket has your seats to the game. If you can't make it tonight, Sox and Jays have games tomorrow night and Thursday afternoon with prices starting at only $22. Great get-in price. Use Ace because they're experienced local event specialists. They're there to answer all your questions, assist you in selecting your seats. They know Boston venues. They're fans just like you. They'll give you a 200% guarantee on the tickets, 5% loyalty cash back on every order. So if you need tickets for any upcoming game with the best seats at the lowest prices, you call them at 1-800-MY-SEATS or, as always, visit them at aceticket.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
All right, Spelger and Maz, fully loaded program. Maz and Murray back in our Town Fair Tire studios after a day off. Well, we started football. We'll reset some of those football items coming up off the top of the 5 o'clock hour, but I promise, back to your phones, and we'll do it right here. How about Tony in Stoneham on Chris Sale? Go ahead, Tony. What do you got for us?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. What do you got?
You guys left out one important factor that I'm going to give you on what you were just talking about with bunting. But before we get to that, why aren't they teaching these infielders how to play the game? When you got a third baseman playing over on the second base by second base because of the damn shift that they use, he's got to run immediately to third if the ball's hitting the ground. Because the guy made it and went from first to all the way home the other night. Remember, Vasquez threw the ball away into left field, and the guy was going to second, kept going to third, and he wound up scoring. That's another big mistake they made. As far as Sale goes, there's no way he should have been extended this year after the second half of the year he had, and it's proven. I talked to you guys about this the first week of baseball this year, and because of his stature and his lack of meat on his bones and everything, you know, the guy has got a problem going on somewhere.
Yeah, Tony, you know why I think they did it?
Why?
John Lester.
Oh, that's exactly why they did it.
I think that they do this routinely. They chase a mistake or...
There's almost like residual guilt because of the way they handled John Lester. To me, it wouldn't hurt to wait.
We're not letting that happen again. And so they get in the same spot and they don't, you know, treat every situation independently like they should. And they don't want to get caught with their pants down again. And so they overcompensate and end up signing a bad contract.
And Henry even said it in spring training, right? We mismanaged the Lester thing. So, like, they got so loose this offseason on so many levels. It's like, once you start to act like you have all the answers, you're going to get bitten in the ass. It happens routinely.
We've got Tim in Blackstone. Go ahead, Tim.
Hey, Maz. I was just wondering if you happened to catch any of the Phillies National game with Pedro and Arcillo calling it on Saturday.
I did not see it, but go ahead.
So Arrieta was pitching, and Pedro had a ball from when he played and a ball from this year. And Pedro was showing his grip for his sinker, cutter, whatever he threw. And you could see physically on the ball that his two fingers were actually touching the seams for the newer ball. And he said that if he was pitching nowadays, he has no clue how effective it would be with just the feel of the ball and the way it comes off. So we're giving all these batters credit, but how much are we kind of, you know, how much are the pitchers actually losing on their end, and it's not necessarily the balls and the bat, more or less the pitchers just not being nearly as efficient and effective as they used to be with the old balls.
Well, but what you're implying is that the balls are harder to do what you used
manipulate.
To do.
Yeah. To manipulate. And I think there might be some truth to that. Might be. Again, you know, if you ask, and I can never pronounce his name, Hyun-Jin Ryu of the Dodgers, he's having the best year of his career. He probably loves the new baseballs. I don't know, maybe they're more like what he used growing up.
I think that they've said that. Isn't the Japanese baseball supposed to be smaller seams?
Yeah, so I think he's Korean. But either way, right? Like the baseball in Asia is different. And so maybe, I mean, it could be that. But I would also say the same thing, that everybody's using the same ball. Like, I don't have a problem with the ball being jacked. In fact, I think it's a good solution. You want more offense in the game? Jack the ball. Fine, easy fix. The issue is the approach of the hitters and the mentality of the, you know, the managers and the staff and everything. It's the approach that's the problem.
Matt in Grafton on the Red Sox. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, if Chris Sale was in a vacuum, I think that would be one thing. But over the past 4 years, every single pitcher has gained a full run on their ERA. That's not a Chris Sale thing. That's not in his head. Maybe he got the heebie-jeebies from Price, but that's everyone. So how do you explain that?
Okay.
It's the pitching coaching staff.
So, but wasn't the same pitching coaching staff last year?
Yep.
Yeah, and everyone's ERA has gone up.
Well, what's one? But it's the same coaches. So you tell me they're coaching it differently?
Yeah, and I don't think that. I mean, look, I am not anyone who's ever going to sit here and say don't blame the pitching coach. It's part of it. Find a solution. You're all on the hook for the same thing. So get people out because this team's built around its pitching staff. No two ways around that. But, you know, it's the same guy as last year. There's not anything that has changed that has affected it if you're looking for some sort of answer. They're just failing.
We've got Dean in North Providence on the Red Sox. Hi, Dean.
Hey, Felger, I think you're wrong. They're not from Trinity or or Cornell. I think our nerds are from CCRI. I mean, they need to go back to the nerd brewery. They're terrible at good claims by that aspect. But my question is, if we think a pitcher is hurt, like they say Sale might be pitching through an injury, why do they continue to put him out there? Why not just shelve him and get a healthy pitcher up there?
So this is another thing that I would say Maz would say is a reason it shows you he's not hurt. They would not continue to put him out there every 5 days if he were hurt. They wouldn't be so reckless. In fact, they usually overcompensate if someone's hurt.
I mean, again, look at Evaldi. They told us it was going to be 4 weeks. It's going to be closer to 4 months, for crying out loud, with Nathan Evaldi. I really don't believe that Chris Sale is hurt. I don't. I don't know what it is, but again, I can't help. If it were anybody else, I would look at the contract and say, oh, I get it. You signed your big deal, you won a title, and now you just don't have as much to pitch for. So maybe that's what it is. And I don't know why we would make him exempt from that. He's human.
Scott, in Weymouth, your thoughts on the Red Sox?
Yes, good afternoon, guys. Been a while. So a quick question and two quick takes. In and out in 30 seconds. What is Chris Sale's ERA?
4.02 or something like it might even be higher.
4 something.
All right. Here's my take on the Red Sox. This team has no chemistry. And unlike last year's team, which had all the chemistry a sports team could have. And I think, two opinions here, I think the White House, the visits or lack thereof by some players, was very divisive. And I think they are locked to be a wild card if they can get their chemistry together. And I'm going to close with this. Let me ask you this question, Felger and Maz. What do you think if David Price was having the same season as Sale? Do you think the media would be treating him equally?
Yes.
Softly?
No, I'm sorry.
They'd be harder on him.
Yeah, the media would be way harder. I anticipated the question incorrectly.
They'd be harder on Price.
No question, they'd kill him.
And I didn't keep him around to say why, but we consider David Price an excuse maker.
Right, sort and of an a-hole.
A weasel and an excuse maker and someone who'll jump a popular broadcaster in a plane because he didn't like what he was saying during a game. We treat Chris Sale as a stand-up tough guy. And so we just look at those players differently. Now,
because why? Because Sale plays the game better?
So I don't know. Is that deserved or undeserved? I'm just telling you why I think we treat them differently.
Yeah, but right. Sale hasn't acted like a petulant a-hole since he's been here.
No, he hasn't. That's what I'm saying.
But that's the point.
Yeah.
So it's about how he acts, not how he pitches?
Yeah.
So Sale should be subject to more criticism than he's been getting right now. He's the ace of the staff. They've lost 13 out of the 19 games he has pitched. And I don't want to hear run support either. I pay him to win 2-1. That's the whole point.
But at least he's being accountable for his suckiness. What do you want him to do?
I want him to pitch better.
But if he can't pitch better, because I think it's injury related. So if he can't and he has to keep going out there, and they obviously can't shut him down because he's probably their most important player in the second half if they're going to try to make the playoffs. They need him out there, and he continues to suck. What do you want him to do? I know, pitch better, but would you rather him just be like, meh, what the hell am I going to do?
Whatever helps him pitch better. That's all I'm saying. He's been one of the biggest underperformers on the team, and that's no small thing. And in fact, you go right across the board, their highest paid players largely have been their most underachieving. Mookie Betts, $20 million, not having the same year. J.D. Martinez, good year, not a great year again. Not the same year he had a year ago. He's making, what, $22.5 million? Sale, granted his contract doesn't kick until next year. Nonetheless, he's the ace. He's underperforming. All their studs are underperforming. So why is that?
Don't tell me it's the White House.
No way.
Thank back to Chris Scott in Weymouth.
No way. Nope. It's not a chemistry issue. It's a focus issue.
You want to tell me complacency, World Series hangover, contracts, other teams being more motivated because they were down last year, all of those. And I'll come up with 10 more before the White House. Don't tell me the White House.
No.
Infected this team.
Yeah, I put it under the umbrella of focus. But it's the things you're talking about. It's, you know, maybe they're not as motivated. They already won. Some of them got their contracts. Some of them didn't get contracts. Whatever it is, last year they were on a mission. The goal was to win. We are going to disprove everybody. We're tired of everybody laughing in our faces come October, saying that we can't win. We're 1-6. We got rid of Farrell, whom we hated. We got a guy who we like. We're on a mission. Then they got it. They started getting the rewards, and they didn't feel like they had to play at the same level anymore.
Okay, no commercials. Just an update. We'll come right back and reset some of the football stuff that we did to open the show. Again, right after Murray.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.